Okay, in Parshas Lukas, we have the Parsha of Tumas Kohanim, the halachas of Tumas Oel, and the halachas of Tumas Oel may be a source for the following two issues that we'll discuss this evening. One of them is the Gemara that tells us halacha, not putting food or drink under your bed, and the other is a relatively later minug of not removing items from a Beis Oel that you don't have in Rishon, and we'll talk about the source of that and what the reasoning maybe. The Gemara tells us in Psachim and Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Psachim Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Let's pull up the share screen. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara says, Tana Ochlun Mashkin Tachas Hamita Afilu Mechupin Bechli Barzel Ruach Ra Sharalein. If a person has food or drink under a bed, even if the food or drink are covered by a super tight and secure cover, even if they're in a kli barzel, an iron container, they are subject to a ruach ra, some kind of impure spirit. And that's quoted halacha in Yeridaya, Simen Kuf Tazayin Sifei, Kuf Tazayin Sifei. Lo yamashkim tachas hamita, v'nesha ruach ra shor aleihem. That a person should not have liquid under his bed because that is subject to a ruach ra. I think I left off a couple words from the citation. It says, "Lo yitein tafshil v'lo mashkim tachas hamita." You're not allowed to put food or drink under a bed because they are subject to a ruach ra. So it's interesting that the way the Rambam goes to halacha in Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh Perek Yud Beis Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes, Lo yiten atafshil tachas hamita, afa pishu oseg besuda, shema yipo bodaver hamazik hu einu ro'eyos. That's a very different approach, nothing to do with ruach ra, which the Rambam doesn't mention. He just says you shouldn't put a tafshil under a bed, even when you are in the context of a suda, because you're worried maybe something that could potentially be mazik could fall into the food and you won't see it. It's going to be out of sight, it's under the bed, something could fall in. So along the lines of the halachas of Giloy, that you can't have uncovered beverages because we're concerned that a snake may come and inject venom. So you also can't have food under a bed because it's out of sight and something dangerous may come and appear inside the food. The Ravid is Masig, Gamzeb Yushalmi, and Mefarshim Mishu Ruach Ra. Yeah, so that there's a Babli also, and the Yushalmi. The reason is Ruach Ra. Not what the Rambam says, that we're worried about Davar Hamazik coming in and potentially harming the food. So the Adrisha points out there in Sukkot and Zion, he notes the difference in reason from the Rambam, and he suggests, when he has daiti lo pligi a Rambam v'rad. He quotes the Ran as reflected in the Shita, the simple understanding of the Gemara, that we're worried about Ruach Ra. The Ran, Mayri b'mita she'eshenim alav. The concern is, the Ran is talking about a case where you have a bed that you sleep on, and then you have food under the bed that you sleep on. So then that's going to be subject to Ruach Ra, that there's some connection between a bed that you sleep on and Ruach Ra. The Rambam is talking about a bed that you sit on when you're eating. It used to be that people ate Beseba. So a bed was a reasonable venue for eating. The Hasim Ein Shor Ruach Ra, there the issue isn't Ruach Ra, Ela Iser Shema Yipol Bodaver Masik. They were concerned about the practicality that maybe something dangerous is going to fall into the food. As he writes, Verbein of Arad, the Ein be dark and lift up El Drama Noagim is Manenu. So the Tor and the Ran that generally focus on Alach Lamaisa, so nowadays, no one eats on beds, you only sleep on beds. If you only sleep on beds, so then you have the concern of Ruach Ra, which is what's highlighted in the Torah and subsequently in Shulchan Aruch. So the Drisha thinks that there isn't fundamentally a machlokas per se, they're talking about two different concerns, and both concerns can exist independently. Right. Right. So he's saying that in the right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So the Drisha said the Rambam is talking about one Okimta, one case. He's not mentioning the other one. Correct. But more likely in the Rambam, whereas the Chalkas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Kohen, and Five Okon Son points out that the Rambam consistently, in many places, kind of minimizes any Ruach Ra consideration that the Gemara has in different contexts. So the Rambam is a more of a rationalist, and Ruach Ra didn't faze the Rambam so much. So the Rambam minimizes the Ruach Ra and focuses on a different concern, which may be more limited. In a Hanami, according to the Rambam, we're not concerned about the Ruach Ra of sleeping. We're not concerned about, we wouldn't be concerned about something that is Mechusakli Barzel. And maybe the Rambam thought that our Gemara was Shaloka Lachar. Our Gemara is a, for those who are makbid about such things, but not that there's an objective halacha, an objective iser. In the Sefer Toras Chaim, on the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Nechesem and Aleph, the Gemara there has that the mark of a bed of a Talmid Chacham is that it's clean underneath. That an Amaretz has a messy bed, as Rashi says, he has a lot of stuff underneath, including food. And an Amaretz, a Talmid Chacham has a clean bed. The only thing he has under his bed are his shoes. That's the only thing that you should be putting under your bed. So the Toras Chaim there comments that he references our Gemara Mesachim. He says, the Talmud Davar Nira, Lefish Ashena Echa Mishishim B'misahi. So what's his concern about the Ruach Ra that's Shora and food under bed? So it's a bed that you're sleeping on. So Shena is 1/60th of the Misa experience. The Mishal Shena Nishmasa Shaladim Tahor Yotzeis, Olahachi Ruach Mesava Sharyala the Inish. So the reason that a Ruach Ra is present is because sleeping is a Kain Misa experience. V'zetam Netilas Yadayim Shachris, that's why you wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning to remove that Ruach Ra. U'kishu Mahil B'shach Shena L'Ochlin, Harein Ke'ilu Hayu Ba'ol Ameis, V'shah Yalein Hahu Ruach Masavis. That's a connection to our Sedra, that if you're sleeping on top of food, so it's Ke'ilu, you're shtickle dead, and your mahil, if you're a little bit dead, your mahil over food. So that creates this ruach tumah over the food, and that's why this iser would apply. So according to that concern, so in both directions, it sounds like it's only a problem, or the real problem is where you're sleeping. But if it's under a bed and no one's sleeping there, then there shouldn't be a concern because there's no misa there. That potentially would be a kula. And arguably, according to the Toras Chaim, you end up with the Chorma also, we'll have to flesh both of these out, that let's say you're sleeping not in a bed. So maybe if it's a function of sleeping, not a function of bed. So if you're sleeping on a chair and then you have something under the chair, so maybe you have to be concerned about the Ruach Ra there also, because the issue is sleeping, not the bed per se. In the Madani Ash, in the one of the editions of the Madani Asher Parsha sheets, so he quotes Achronim that point out that another nafkamina, according to the Toras Chaim, if we're concerned, if the model is olamais, so that should be another possible nafkamina, but does it apply if you have food under the bed of a nachri or under a sleeping nachri? So at least machlokas tana, machlokas vishad, machlokas how we paskim, and the ikra din, we're machrim, the ikra din, you assume that tumas ol is only by yisal and not by akum. And Akim is Matami Ba'al, Tem Kuyim Adam, the Ainu Masalam Kuyim Adam. So then it should come out of Kula that we shouldn't be concerned about this din of Ochlan Mashin Takasamita if it's Takasamita of a Nachri or Takasas a sleeping Nachri. So that's the Machloka Sachronim. The Dark Chuba discusses this in Sivkatan Lamites. He quotes a Chuba's Degel Ephraim that we don't distinguish between Amita She Yisrael and Amita Shel Akim. There should be us or even b'mita shel akum, as opposed to other areas. Let's say if a Yisrael touches food without netilas yadayim, so you're not supposed to come in contact with that food. We're not machmir for nachri as far as that's concerned. So he doesn't flesh out exactly how the Degel Ephraim develops that distinction. He quotes others that say that as well. But he says, I ain't trying to go spin up all this Moshe. So why should you distinguish between Nitzil Sadayim and Ardin of Ochlim Tachas Amita? The Im Amru Shein Ruach Rosh Shara Al Yedeyem, because she can't tachas claim it to say him. That if you're not worried about food that Anachri touches with them Nitzil Sadayim, so why are you worried about food under his bed? Dim Lokein Hechmat Sinu Yadena Ragleinu Lichno Shem Davar Machla Mashka Hamutter Meyakam. If we really are concerned, and how could you ever go into the store and buy something from an Achri? Maybe it was under the bed. And don't say that's a muted lo shkiach, because by sakana chashinan gam lemiut lo shkiach. And the Dark Hachuba says he's not so clear why that's an issue, because when it comes to Yisrael, ledvara pashtehu de Yisrael chashid aser likno shem davar machal amashke mechashat shema. So according to what he's saying, you should never buy anything from Yisrael either, who's an Amma Aretz, who's a Chashid, and maybe he has stuff under his bed also. Ella what? As we'll see in a few moments, it's not us or anyway. So if that's true, that should be true for Nachri as well. And the Yisrael should apply equally for Nachri. So the Dark Yitshuva quotes Sachron who say, that the Yisrael applies to Anachri as well as to Yisrael. And we're not choshesh for either, if you don't know, so you don't have to worry that maybe the food is under the bed. But according to the Torah's Chaim, it should come out that maybe there's a reason to distinguish between under a bed of Yisrael and under a bed of Anachri. Regarding that, which the Dark Yeshuva referenced about the Eved. So first of all, the Aruch HaShulchan, just to note, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that he observes people aren't accurate about this halach at all. Because people aren't nisr, shomer b'sam Hashem, that to the extent that there's a sakan, it's dasha be'rabim, and no one's careful about food under the bed. I believe consensus is that you should be careful about food under your bed, but the Aruch HaShulchan seems to reflect that at least the Navardic people weren't careful. But if you did have food under your bed, b'di'eva, what's the status of that food? So the Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Shmos Yaakov, Chayli Bays, Simon Kofay, who is Mekel. Nearly Pashut, the Enkan Chashash is a B'di'eved. It's only a Chashash L'chadchila. After all, we find in various contexts that the Gemara says you have to be careful that a Chavir shouldn't eat together with an Amma Aret because. And Aretz would be mostly Darvish Eid Masuka, and he's going to feed food that wasn't meisered properly, that wasn't properly prepared, where there are reasons not to eat it. And then he quotes the Gemara that we just noted in Bava Basra, that Amita Shel Tamid HaChachamim just has shoes under the bed, as opposed to an Am Aretz that has a lot of messy stuff under the bed, including food. So he says, Vim Kain, Amaylo Chashash HaChachamim Eich Yochal Imo. So why aren't we worried about eating with the Nama Aretz? Hello, Chamir Zakat Misuri should be worried that he had food under his bed. Not just an unlikely possibility he might have had food under his bed. The Gemara says that a Nama Aretz always has food under his bed. That's the mark of the bed of a Nama Aretz. Alavade Pashut, the Chol Hani Rakas Har Lechakilo, Alavade Eved, Ein Kepay the Klal. Because it's only l'chachil and not b'di'evin. He says no posek says that he has to be machmir even b'di'evin. The Gaon is quoted as saying that you do have to be machmir b'di'evin. The different versions between the Chachmas Adam and how the Gaon is quoted in later Achronim as to whether the Gaon is only machmir on himself b'di'evin or paskin for others b'di'evin. But the Gaon is of the opinion, or quoted as being of the opinion, that if you have food under bed, it should not be consumed even b'di'evet. Rav Sternbach discusses in Atshuva Chelek Aleph Simen Ches. It's a couple interesting points in this Tshuva. He quotes a Sefer Nachlas Avos that I'm not familiar with, but he says it's written by a grandson of the Gaon's brother. He writes, Lizar Ma'od lo laniach davar machal tachas mita filu derech arai. You should be very careful not to put any food under a bed, even derech arai. Lo tachas mita mamish, ela filo ya tachas asafsal, obeteva, So that's what we suggested based on the Torah's Chaim, who come at a chumrah, that even if it's not under bed, even if it's under a chair, and you're sleeping on a chair and you have food under there when you're sleeping, you have to be machmir that also. Ki chamir sakanta misura. The af in tira davar b'chush ein ma'atik l'shamadim ha'ochlin. But you'll say, experience has shown that plenty of people ate food that was under their bed and lived to tell about it. Aval du'u b'ni shalo al guf levadam. We talk about this kind of sakana. It's not just a physical sakana. We're talking about a ruchniyistik sakana. Well, the nefesh yomazim b'yosim esakid. That could really be dangerous. Ki devrayim kagachli eish borim miguf ad nefesh. He called Masenu to Nuasenu Hain Latova Lara, Ayupagumim, Miskaimim, Belamas Alyonim, etc. So you wouldn't be able to gauge whether there is this Ruchnius effect because the effect may not be so readily apparent. You have to be Machmir, but he quotes that that Chumra is even if it's a chair that someone's sleeping on, not to put food underneath. So Shlomo says that based on the Chumra of the Gaon, so he's knowing to be Machmir for himself in both directions, even under a bed where no one sleeps, and if someone sleeps not in a bed. But he acknowledges that's a whole discussion in Achronim. He quotes from Chaim Kanievsky, quoting from the Chazon Ish, that even though the Chazon Ish is personally Machmir, like the Gaon, but he was Makel to eat food b'di'evet that was under someone else's bed, meaning for someone else to eat food under someone else's bed. And then Rosh Tormach discusses, what about a plane? So if you have food under the seat of a plane and you sleep on the plane, or you're sleeping on a bus, you have food under the seat of the bus. So Rosh Tormach thinks that even if you accept the chumrah of the Gaon's brother's grandson, that if you're sleeping on a chair, you have to be concerned about the food under the chair, that's only if it's kind of a kavua sleep situation. If you're on a plane, so that's more of a temporary kind of sleeping situation. If you're on a bus, so then there's more grounds to be makel, b'machmir yachmir l'atzma. And there's a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak as well, that Chalkas Ben Yamin quotes in Chela Dal and Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, who's makel along these lines for various reasons, if you have food under the seat of a baby carriage or baby stroller. Okay, but the real problem is a bed. In general, Ramachmir leave, even if the food is under the bed, no one's sleeping under the bed, but definitely if someone is sleeping under the bed at the time, that would lechachila be avoidable. And generally speaking, many poskim are makel based on the Shvus Yaakov, be the Eved, if there was food under bed, not to asr it. Okay. The second related topic to this kind of ruach ra or ruach atoma as an extension of Tumas Oel is a minhag that Rav Gevager quotes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos, Simin Shin Ayin Vav. Gevager writes, Nogin shelo likach davar katan v'gadav beis avel kol meshach zayin yemei avelus. There's a practice not to remove anything, be it big or small, from a beis avel for the entirety of Shiva. Mishum sheruach hatuma shorasham kol zayin, because it's a ruach hatuma that is hovering, that exists in the beis avel for the week of Shiva. So Rav Gevager quotes this from Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah, as the Debrei Sofim points out, quotes this from a Sefer Manel Lashon, the authorship of which I'm not familiar, but the Sefer Manel Lashon, that the Divrei Sofim quotes verbatim, notes that this was a prevalent practice in Ashkenaz, but he says it's unclear what the source and the reason is. There's no reference to Rishonim to such a practice. So it developed sometime, or at least the earliest reference to it is in the earlier period, is in the period of Achronim. So he suggests the Manel Lashon, that maybe this is based on a kind of Ruach Tumah that exists in a base Avel. So why doesn't it appear in any earlier sources? So he quotes one source that he thinks may support this practice. And that's in Hilchos Kriya, Simon Shin Mem, Sif Lamed Hei. The Mechaber writes, Hamashi l'chaveiro chaluk leilech bo l'beis avel. If you lend someone a shirt to wear to go to Beis Avel, ain't a rush elitol mimenu ad sheyavri yemei avel. So you're not allowed to take it back until the period of Avelos is over. So the Divrei Sofrim, quoting from the Manel Lashon, says that we're talking about you're bringing someone is going to be wearing a shirt in a Beis Avel. So maybe the concern there is that you can't remove something that goes into Beis Avel from a Beis Avel. And that's why Hamashel Chaveiro isn't allowed to take it back until it's not that he's not allowed to ask her back, but in practice he can't take it back because it's something that had entered into a Beis Avel. In the Sefer Tziyun Yalacha written by Rabbi Ben Sion Cook, has Psakim, the Sefer is Psakim from Avliyash and Hilchas Avelos. So he quotes that when the stipler would go to be Menachem Avel, the stipler was makbid not to carry anything with him into the Beis Avel because he was concerned that to remove that which you carry in would be a violation of this minhag not to remove something from a Beis Avel. But the Tziyun Yalacha quotes that Rabbi Yashin Paskin that you don't have to be choshish for that lahalacha, because the minhag that Rabbi Eger is referring to is a minhag not to remove something that has a shaykhus to the Beis Avel. The stam, you walk into Beis Avel and you're carrying a notebook in your pocket, so there's no shaykhus to the Beis Avel. That's your possession that you happen to be carrying into the Beis Avel. So that's not included in this minhag. The minhag refers to things that are shaykh to the Beis Avel. Along those lines, the Badr Shulchan writes, page Kuf Yuches, that the Ruach HaTumma that we're concerned about, the Rebbe Kivega references, so that's only Shorah on things that were there in the Beis Avel at the beginning of the period of Avelos. So Menachem comes into the Beis Avel at some point, carrying whatever he's carrying, that wasn't there at the beginning of the period of Avelos. But that which was in the house at the beginning of the period of Avelos, that's where the Minhag applies to now remove something from the Beis Avel. But even on that, the Badr Shulchan says, Lo Matzinu, that people really are careful about that because there are things that are in the Beis Avel that belong to the Avelim, let's say, at the beginning of Shiva. And if an Avel needs to leave, there's no minion in the Beis Avel, he has to go to minion somewhere else. So there are situations where an Avel leaves and he takes his Tal's Tefillin with him. He takes other things. So that wasn't the Beis Avel from the beginning. there's a sefer that the Tzitz Eliezer wrote on Hilchos Avelos called Evan Yaakov. Rabbi Simcha Bonham quotes this in his recently published Avelos sefer. So the Tzitz Eliezer suggests that the minhag that Rebbe Kivega references of not removing something from the Beis Avel because of Ruach HaTumma, so that's only applicable to that which was in the area where the mace was nifter. So if the mace was nifter in this house, so then the minhag applies because it's a Ruach HaTumma is a derivative of the fact that there's a mace in this house. But the mace was made somewhere else. There's nothing special about the Beis Avel. There's no Ruach Tumma that develops in the Beis Avel because of the Din Beis Avel. It's a function of the fact that there is a Ptira in that house. And he quotes him a sefer in Mizgeres HaShulchan that the people only makbid from the not to take things from the room that the mace was nifter in, not from the rest of the house. So even if you're makbid about the rest of the house, that's just an extension because it's all under one roof. It's an extension of the Makom HaPetira. And he also quotes from the Sefer Yosef Omitz. Yosef Omitz is one of the Sfarim of Menhagi Frankfurt from a few centuries ago. So he writes, Kibalti mimori agon, mashenogen shilalikach mibesa avol shim davar toch zayin, ein lo shim ikar ba'olam. So in Frankfurt, they weren't concerned about such a practice, that there's no source for this. The Amr Shetos Ba, they had the Kasa Poskim, a Mashal Chalkhaver, Leil Beis Avel, and a Rashalito Menu, so that Allah that we quoted. See, the Noah Kitson Yosef says, the Yosef Elman, sorry, says that that very Allah was the source of the mistake, he says. Because people misunderstood that based on that, you can't take anything out of a Beis Avel. So in Frankfurt, apparently, there was no such minug. But that's what the Tzitzel Yosef suggests, fairly convincingly, that to the extent that we're concerned about a Ruach HaTumah, it's because of the mace. If there's no mace there, then there's no Ruach HaTumah to be concerned about. And then Rabbi Simcha Ben Cohen also quotes from the Shevet HaLevi that he says, you know, let's say you have there's food in a Beis Avel. Food is brought in to the Beis Avel during Shiva. It's going to go to waste, so someone wants to take it out. So Rav Osner said, even if there is a minhag, even if the minhag would be relevant in that case, not to take out food. But it's, at the end of the day, it's only a minhag. Baal Tashvis is a deraisa.
We lost the sound. We lost the sound. We don't hear you.
Hear me now? Yeah, okay. So, I'm sorry?
I heard his call.
So Rav Osner says that, even if there's a minhag, but you're not going to be mekayem the minhag at the expense of the deraisa of Baal Tashvis. So Rabbi Simcha Bonham Cohen puts together various reasons to allow taking food out of a Beis Avel where there's excess food. Number one, the food is brought there after the beginning of the Avela, so that's one reason. Number two, it's not something that's any shaykhus to the Beis Avel per se. It wasn't, if there's no mace there, there's no patira there, it's not in the room where the mace was, that's also another reason. And Baal Tashvis. Rabbi Karp in his Sefer on Avelas suggests another reason for this minhag, which isn't really supported by the Manel Lashon, which is the original source of Rabbi Kivager, and not really supported by Rabbi Kivager's Ruach HaTumah consideration. But he suggests maybe the minhag developed because in a Beis Avel, there's a lot of tumult and people going in and people going out. And there's a concern that in the whole traffic, people may just take various items that belong to the maze without anyone noticing. So in order to prevent the pilfering of the Nichsei HaMeis by people walking into the Beis Avel, there's such a minhag that developed that you shouldn't take anything out of a Beis Avel. It doesn't really fit with the Ruach Tum idea, but Rabbi Karp quotes that as another suggestion as well. Okay, have a great Shabbos.
Thank you, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, have a good Shabbos.
You too.